Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Well, we got a family bunch here today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm looking around just making sure. Praise God. Hallelujah. We don't want to scare anybody off. Can you bring me down just a little bit? Praise the Lord. Oh, God is so good. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I love the Spirit of God. I love the ministry in all forms. I embrace what God has for us. You know, I endeavor to follow the Spirit on all things. And, you know, you can always get into a routine of things, but it's always important to follow the Lord. Amen. And even now, you know, as confirmation, there's such a sweet presence of the Lord in here, and I'm just so excited to get into what He has for us. But God loves His people, amen? And He hasn't left us nor forsaken us. Glory to God. You know, I am with you always is something, you know, it's good for Savannah to hear, but it's also good for us all to hear. We have to understand that God is with us always. But especially, you know, all that stuff that was coming out of my spirit about not contending with the hand of God. We have to remember that, folks. We have to remember that we're not fighting against God. This life is not us versus God. And so many Christians, they live this life that way. Amen. They live that the life this way that they're contending with God for blessing. You know, they're pleading with Him in prayer and just bless me. It would do good to listen to last night's service. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because there's a way, I talked about our approach towards God. There's a way that we approach Him. And quite honestly, most Christians approach God wrong. They don't know how to approach Him. Praise the Lord. They think God's doing bad things. They think God's taking people. God's killing. God doesn't take people. He doesn't take your life. He doesn't take things He's given. Amen. God doesn't take back what He's given. That's called a thief. Praise the Lord. If I gave my kid a meal and they sat down to start eating it and I removed it from them, what would I be doing? I'd be thieving from my child, amen? If I gave gave you a birthday present, praise the Lord, I walked up to you and gave you something and then came up 5 minutes later and took it back, what would I be? I would be a thief at that point, amen? Now, while it was still in my possession, you know, we see this, God dealing with Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament. He said, well, it was still in your possession. You could do with it as you please, amen? But once you give it, amen, once you give it, it becomes someone else's, amen. It's not yours. And so, he didn't say that part. That's a separate part. I'm kind of adding that part on. Not that I'm adding the scripture, but I'm telling you something here, amen. Praise the Lord. And so we understand that. God isn't removing from us. God doesn't take people from us. He doesn't take things from us. God is not doing those types of things. God is not causing the pain in our lives. If you feel pain from something, guess what? It was not God. I said it was not God. God is not the author of death. God is not the author of confusion. He is not the author of destruction. God is the author of life. And life more abundantly. Praise the Lord. The devil is the one who takes. The devil is the one who steals. And we have to know these things. We have to get these things in us. We have to allow these things to be so much in us that there is no question as to what's going on. Amen? Praise the Lord. You know, God has provided all things for us. And of course, I know we talk about this a lot, but it's a lot. You know, I want to share with you something that the Lord was speaking to me during announcements, actually. You know, if you see me up here and I'm got my face down in my phone, I'm not checking Instagram. Praise the Lord. I'm not surfing the web. I'm not, if I am, I'm looking for a scripture or something like that. But I'm not playing a game. You know, I'm not trying to get my next high score, praise the Lord, just before service. I'm actually, you know, I'm recording things, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Yeah, this is what I heard in my spirit. You know, because my wife was talking about John 8, 31 and 32, and she was talking about, you know, how we bring it up all the time. And sometimes I know the feeling people get when they're sitting in church and say, oh, we've heard this before, I've heard it again. And here's the thing, we got it. But the truth of the matter is if you're saying that, you haven't got it. If you feel that way, you haven't received it. You have heard it. You have memorized it. You may be able to recite it yourself, but that doesn't mean you've received it. And see, we have to understand that there's a difference between just understanding something or just hearing something or knowing something and receiving it into our spirit. There's plenty of people that memorize scripture that have no idea what it says. Praise the Lord. I said there's plenty of people. I've had people quote scripture to me and then talk about it wrong. They haven't received it. They've memorized it. There's a difference. Amen. You may have memorized it, but is it in you? That's what I heard in my spirit. Have you received it? Praise the Lord. Now let me ask you this. Can you receive with a bad attitude? No. Because again, back to giving a gift. If I'm giving you a gift and you say, well, I guess I'll take it. You're not receiving it. You're taking it, but you're not receiving it. Amen? How do we think about this? How do we receive a gift? When somebody blesses you or somebody, you know, somebody does something for you, how do you, aren't you humbled on the inside? Don't you feel on the inside? Don't you feel joy? Don't you feel like, oh man, I'm not deserving of this? Don't you immediately go to that? Have you ever had somebody bless you that you were just mean to and then you're like, and they didn't know that you were mean to them? Maybe you were mean to them in their mind. I just had this happen to me this week, by the way. Praise the Lord. Somebody was doing something that I just annoys me, and I was just like, oh, and it was just being annoyed by it, and I was allowing my thoughts, and then all of a sudden they decided to verbally bless me. Praise the Lord. And then I felt like real good about myself. Praise the Lord. But you know what I'm talking about. You see, you receive, you know how to receive. Because when you receive something, when somebody gives you something, you receive with joy. But it's the same thing with the Word. We need to receive the Word the same way, with joy. And when we hear these words, we hear these magnificent promises, we need to take them with joy. Amen? This life is meant to be lived with joy. And see, the thing is, joy isn't going to fall on you. Joy isn't just going to show up at your doorstep and say, hey, I'm joy, I'm here for you. Praise the Lord. If somebody comes knocking on your door and says, hey, I'm joy, I'm here for you, it probably ain't God. Hallelujah. Unless God's sending money with joy or something like that, you know, praise the Lord. You want to be careful of that, praise the Lord. But joy isn't just going to show up. We have to grab onto joy. We have to embrace joy. We have to go after joy. Praise the Lord. Joy has to be a pursuit. I'm talking to you all here. You know that? Praise the Lord. Everybody's sitting here today. Joy is a pursuit. You have to pursue it. You have to not let it go. You have to decide, you know what? This is mine, and I'm not doing anything other than receiving it. Yeah. It's mine. Yeah. If you're sad, that's not joy. No. So don't receive sadness. How do you receive joy? The same way you should receive sadness. You let it embrace you. Right. You let it fill you. I said you let it fill you. See, it's easy to let sadness fill you, isn't it? Yeah. Why? Because you got your focus on the thing that causes sadness. Yeah. And when you have your focus on the thing that causes sadness, receiving sadness, oh, it's easy, isn't it? Is there anyone here that's ever suffered from even a minute of depression? Sure. Was it hard to receive the depression? No, it came up, something bad happened, didn't it? Yeah. Some thought, maybe it was a bad thought or something, but it came to you. It was real easy to step into it, wasn't it? You know why it was easy? Because you received it. Yeah. And the same thing is with God. Receiving from God is the same way. We have to look at it and say, no, because the reason you received it is because you said, that's the truth. See, when you had the depression or when you had the sadness, the thing that caused sadness, you said, that's sad. And that's painful. That's whatever. And so I received that by saying that's the truth. That's the truth of my life. But see, if you look at the Word and you start saying, hey, you know, the Bible says that the Bible tells us that looking into the Word is like looking into a mirror, or should be. And so when we see that, we need to see ourselves in the reflection of the Word. And so when we see God blessing his people, he says, lo, I am with you always. We need to see that, lo, he's with me always. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory to God. Receive that as truth. And then when you know that the creator of everything is with you always, receiving that as truth will create joy. Yeah. See, joy is a choice that we step into. We're not contending with God. We're contending with ourselves. Yeah. It's easy for us to receive things that are hard because we have that nature that wants to go always to that way. But we have to change that nature. And we're the only ones who are going to do it. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. That's free, no charge. Glory to God. It was not my message, but it's good for us anyways. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're going to receive the Word today, aren't we? Amen? We're going to receive all that God has for us today. And God will be glorified through it. Praise God. What faith is? Part 3. Amen. Part 3. Glory to God. What faith is? This was going to be a few week series. Glory to God. I told my wife last night, I said, because I every point, every time I do a series, I get about this far into the series and I start thinking, why do I do this? Why do I call it a series? Because I just, I told you that. She said, don't call it a series. Just get in there and start preaching what God has on your heart. It will be a series inevitably, but I don't have to call it a series. See, when I call it a series, then I put a demand on it to be that thing. And if you know anything about me, you know that I'm not real good with that. Amen. My wife and I have been, you know, we've been endeavoring to eat healthier and be healthier and all these things lately. And one of the things that I can't stand in life is salad. And it's not even so much the salad itself I can't stand as much as the name salad. I hear the word salad, it's like a cuss word to me. I hear salad and I want to punch somebody. I literally do. I am not, that's not an exaggeration. The first, it's like fight or flight. The first thing in me that comes is like, someone says salad, it's like punch them and get out of here, quick, before they make you eat that thing. But you know what's funny about it is this, is when she's made some salads that I'm like, this is really good. I enjoy this. I like it. It tastes good. I'm not thinking of it being a salad. I'm thinking of it just being food. And so praise the Lord. And so I was telling her that. She said she was talking about what she wanted to make throughout the week or whatever, and she mentioned a salad, and I got, you know, she saw it on my face. I got cringy instantly, and she said, you can't call it salad. She said, it was arugula salad. We discovered arugula. It's good. I don't know if you ever had it, but I like it. Praise the Lord. It's like a leafy, it's grass, basically, okay? Praise the Lord. But it tastes good. But she says, I'm thinking about making an arugula delight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, yeah, I could eat that. Yeah, we can do that. Praise the Lord. I know it's just about words, but hey, listen, we know that there are certain words that trigger things. Amen. They're called trigger words, and we know, praise God. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. So we just can't call it. We just got to let it be what it's going to be. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I've just been preaching on faith because that's what God has me to do. Glory to God. I'm glad I didn't give you how many weeks it would be because we're on week three of part one. Glory to God. But we're still talking about what faith is. And I love this. I love that I get this opportunity to preach it over and over again because I really believe it's building something in us. Amen. You know, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so as we hear the word, you know, something else that the Lord was sharing with me, I might be sharing a future sermon. I don't know. I might not. But something else he was sharing with me right there is how, you know, you go through the Bible and it talks about preaching the word, preaching the word, preaching the word, preaching the word, and all these people that preach the word. And you know, the Spirit asked me a question on the inside as I was sitting there. It was like, was the word that was preached in Scripture any more valuable than the word that's being preached today? And the answer to that question is no. It's not any more valuable. In fact, we have been given the same command that they were given, and that's to preach the word. And so as we preach the word, amen, we're doing just what God has called us to do. And the Spirit of God will meet us. The Spirit of God is doing just as much. Now, we have their word written down. Praise the Lord. And that's Scripture that we turn to and go to. That's because God authorized it to be written down. Amen. But that does not mean that God has not authorized the words that are preached out of this pulpit or any other pulpit to be any less. In fact, we need the word preached continually to us. If we didn't, Jesus wouldn't have commanded us to do so. Paul wouldn't have commanded us to do so. What we've been commanded to do is preach the word. And so if they've commanded it, it's every bit as much important as this word here. We don't preach our own ideas. We don't preach the things that we come up with, but we preach the word that they have given us. Amen? And we stand on the faith that they have given us. Amen? We contend for the faith, as the Bible says, that has been given to us. Amen? This is the faith that's been given to us. So we're not adding to this, but preaching this is just as important today as it was to them. If I preached the Sermon on the Mount to you, it was just as important to you today as it was when Jesus preached it to them then. Wow. You say, well, Pastor Jeff, you're looking at yourself very highly. No, I'm not. It has nothing to do with me because I'm not doing this according to my will or my direction. I'm doing it to God, according to God's will. So whenever any minister of the gospel, if they're a true minister of the gospel, preaches the gospel, it's just as important as when it was preached to those people. And so it's just as life-changing to you today as it was to them then. And it has as much power and as much availability as it did then it has it today, amen? So we have to understand that, and that's a big part of faith, is coming to church realizing that the word preached will work. It does work, because that's what it's designed to do, amen? Praise the Lord. The word preached will always help us, it will always set us free, it will always take us, if we connect to it. But I'm going to share something with you it's a sad thing, but it's something that I have to share. There are many people in church today. There are people in this room. Praise the Lord. Now, if I just looked at anyone, I wasn't pointing to you necessarily, you know what I mean? I wasn't like eyeing you out or something like that, praise the Lord. I just realized that sometimes in a second you can stop for a little too long and then somebody will think, you're talking about me. But I'm not necessarily, but that's not what I'm saying, praise the Lord. But there are people in this room that will not, that have not either fully received or received at all the things that I've said. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Now, God has not brought you here because he doesn't want to do something with you. God has brought you here because he wants to help you. And if God has brought you here, that means that I am fully equipped, my wife and I are fully equipped to help you with everything that God would have us help you with. Fully equipped. So if God has brought you here, the good news, he's brought you to the right place. How many of you know that God will not bring you to the wrong place? God will bring you, but. The Bible says that you must be a doer of the word. The word what? That is preached. Praise the Lord. The word that is preached in this pulpit. Praise the Lord. The word that is preached to you will change your life if you let it. Glory to God. I'm just telling you, this is a lot of inspired utterance. Praise the Lord. This is coming out of my spirit. So receive it because this is good. Of course, I didn't plan any of this. Amen. But God is teaching some things. He's trying to help us with some things because God's ultimate desire is that we walk in the fullness of his plan. But we cannot walk in the fullness of his plan when we have made it up in our mind that this is what we're going to do. And what I mean by this is whatever you want to do. That a lot of people have done that. I've sat here, preached the message, and heard the same people that I've preached to come to me and say, well, this is what I'm going to do. Did the Lord tell you to do that? Did God tell you to do that? Praise the Lord. I see a lot of people in the body of Christ doing a lot of unstable things, and God always leads to stability. And so if it's not stable, if it's not stability, it's not God. Plain and simple. It's not God. God will always increase you. He will look to build your life up. He will always look to add to you, but it cannot happen if you do things your way. If you just insist on doing things, well, I wanna be here. I wanna be there. I don't wanna do this. I don't wanna do this. There's lots of things in life I don't wanna do. But just as praise the Lord, we have some new parents in here. They're old parents or new parents. They were parents and now they're parents again. Hallelujah. New babies, yes. That's what I wanted to say, amen. It was a lot easier to say it that way. But we got some new babies in here, so parents, and the one thing that they know is, praise God, Josh was telling me he woke up at something with 3 o'clock this morning. You heard something that had to get you moving, amen. 3 o'clock this morning, did you want to get up at 3 o'clock this morning? Praise the Lord. I know Rachel, praise the Lord, our sister Rachel back there, she's got a baby all the time with her, hallelujah. And so she's getting a lot of those calls. How many of those have you wanted to get up for? Praise the Lord. She's smiling back there saying, none. It'll be over soon, sister, we promise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But, there's a lot of, but why do they do it? Because it's what they have to do. They know it's what they have to do. And the joy will come. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I don't wake my mom up at all anymore in the middle of the night. Well, once in a while. Once in a while, I'll call her at like midnight or something, but she's generally okay with it. Amen. Praise the Lord. But it's the same way we have to be persistent about the things of God. We have to just determine that we want to go this way because we want to be blessed. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. That also is not my message, but faith. What faith is, part 3. This week I got to go with my daughter, and I went up to Mississauga. Reverend Greer was up there, and we went up for just a couple days to go see him for a couple days. I figure if the man of God's close, I'm not going to miss the opportunity. Amen. Well, her and I were the only ones that could go, and so her and I went. And while I was up there, I was in service. I was actually, it was at worship time during service, and God started speaking the basis of this message to me. Amen. And I just love it because he showed me something in a scripture, and I wasn't thinking about this message at all. Honestly, I wasn't thinking about you at all. I was in worship, I was thinking about worship up in Canada. That's what we were doing. That's where we were, and that's what we were into. So you know what I mean? So that's what I was into at the moment. And so I wasn't thinking of this at all. I wasn't thinking of this scripture at all. But God brought it to me. Amen. And I'll get to the scripture in a minute, but I want to say that, well, I'll go ahead and pull it up, Revelation 12:1. But this is what we have to know. Faith is a voice. One of the first things I understood about faith is the importance of our words. One of the first things I understood about faith, I understood it early on. Somebody taught it to me, and my spirit lit up. Even though I was a baby Christian and I didn't know much, I knew that what was being spoken to me was absolute truth. Yeah. And I'm so thankful. You know, if we look through the Bible, all we see is the importance of words. God has placed so much importance on what he said, and he's placed a lot of importance on what we say. Amen. So Revelation 12, 11. And the Bible says here, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death, to the death. In other words, they weren't going to change. They weren't going to be swayed from what they were. Even at the threat of death, these saints overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Now we see two things here that they overcame by, the blood of the Lamb. What do you do to get the blood of the Lamb? Well, you just receive it. Amen. Yeah. Jesus paid it. It's already been given to us. Amen. But we understand that that's not the only thing that helped them overcome. And we could say it this way. This isn't the only thing that helps you overcome. The blood of the Lamb does a lot, doesn't it? The blood of the Lamb is a good thing. The blood of the Lamb is what sets us free. Praise the Lord. It's what enables us to go free. The word of our testimony is what walks us out. Praise the Lord. And so we have to walk out with the blood. The blood of the Lamb is the past, but the word of our testimony is what gets us out. Amen? And so we have to understand what testimony really is. A testimony is what one testifies. Yeah. It's what they speak. Yeah. Praise the Lord. A testimony isn't just what has happened, but it's what's going to happen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We overcome by our testimony. Our testimony is what we speak will be. So when we speak, something will be. This is the way that it is. That's the way it's going to be. And we're going to see that with the word today. As we get into it, amen? To a Christian, their testimony is not just what has happened, but by faith, what is happening or going to happen. We have to understand this. We have to get okay with this because this is the word of God. This is the way that God designed things to be. Faith is a voice. It always is a voice. Faith is an action. It is a commodity. Faith is a lot of things, but faith is a voice. Faith, you could say it this way, your faith is your voice. Amen. So you say, it's not just about what you're going to say, praise the Lord, when it happens. But it's about what you say right now, and it's about what you've been saying up until now. Amen. What you say matters because that's your faith. Faith is a voice. We see this so often, again, back to reflecting on when we're going through trials and stuff like that. What you believe comes out through your mouth. What you believe about the trial comes out through your mouth. You know it to be true. What's the difference between somebody who's happy and somebody who's depressed? What's coming out of their mouth? It's not what they feel. I know that you think that that's what it is. And I'll tell you how I know this. Because I can look at somebody who's depressed, and I have. I've sat down with somebody who's hopeless. I've sat down with somebody who's depressed. I've sat down and counseled somebody, and I know that it's not near as bad as what they think it is. But in their mind, it is the worst thing possible, and so that's what they're speaking. Because that's all that they can see. And I'm sitting there telling them, that there's hope, that it's better. And a lot of times they're sitting there telling me, no, it's not. What am I trying to do? I'm trying to change their confession. I'm trying to change their testimony. Because God's already promised it. He said that it would be light and easy. He said, but I don't feel light and easy. You're focused in the wrong area. You're focused on the wrong truth. The truth is God's truth above our truth. Amen. This does not mean that we lie to ourselves, because here's what we understand about God's truth. As we confess God's truth, it comes to pass. As we confess the word, as we confess faith, faith is an action that makes things happen. And so as we confess, we are literally creating things around us, even though we can't see it. Just because it's not growing right there in that second, we can't see it, doesn't mean that it's not happening. But we are changing things, or we are manipulating things, or making our world by what we speak. This is why the devil always came for the word. The word. The Bible tells us that when the thief comes for the word's sake, what is a word? Why do you think that God called it the word of God? This could have just been called a book. It wasn't just called a book. It's called the word. The word is your sword. The word is your weapon. What is a word? A word is something that is spoken. A word is not a word unless it's spoken. I said a word is not a word unless it's spoken. Every word that's up here is not a word until it comes out of here. Up here, it's a thought. Up here, it's an idea. Right here is where it becomes a word. We have to understand. There's reasons. It's not some hidden message that God called this the word. He called it the word throughout. He said the word was God. The word was with God and the word was God. God is the word. And so when we speak the word out of our mouth, we're speaking God out of our mouth. We're speaking the ability out of our mouth. We are using the power the way that it's supposed to be. It comes out of the mouth. But we have to speak right. If we don't speak right, we're not speaking the power of God. We're speaking the power of the enemy. Now we have to get over this idea that everything is just natural, is natural. Or everything we see is just natural. We have to be people that understand more than this. The people out there in the world, they don't understand the word. They don't understand speak. They don't understand how it works, right? Because they're just doing what they're doing. They think that just their ideas are their best ideas, right? This is why when we come into the church, we got to get our minds changed and cleaned and renewed to the things of God, because we have to understand, listen, we are the people of God. We sit in this church, we sit in these seats, and we hear the word. We have to understand that there is something spiritual that controls what is natural. If you have a natural problem, there is a spiritual reason behind it. If you have a natural problem, there is a spiritual reason behind it. It doesn't mean that you're not spiritual. It means that you need to find out what the spiritual reason is. It means you need to change it by the Spirit. But if there's a spiritual thing behind the natural, then the natural stuff is not going to change it. Have you noticed that? What do natural things do? They manipulate things, right? Okay, if you take vitamins, it manipulates things. It does things in your body because your body is built to respond to vitamins and stuff like that. But if there's a problem, vitamins might not solve it. Sometimes when there's a problem, have you ever had a headache that you took aspirin for and it didn't do anything? Yeah. But isn't aspirin supposed to do it? Have you ever had allergy symptoms or you took allergy medicine? Yeah. I don't know about you, but back when I dealt with allergies, and I don't deal with them anymore. I had hands laid on me. I've been set free from it. So don't tell me healing's not real. But I used to deal with allergies all the time. I dealt with them. And these would come on me. And one thing I remember about allergies is no matter what I took over the counter, it didn't help. Yeah. It never helped me, did it? Praise the Lord. And it very rarely helps you. Why? Because that stuff, because there's other reasons behind it. Amen. Sometimes natural things aren't going to do it, but the Spirit, the things of the Spirit will help us. And so we need to learn to live this life with the Spirit as much as we are in the natural. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Faith is a voice. We need to speak from a place of believing. Remember, I think it's Mark, was it Mark 11, 22, I think? Jesus said, have faith in God. The parable of the fig tree, praise the Lord. He said, have faith in God. Some translations of that said actually say, have the faith of God. Praise the Lord. That's what we have to do. We have to have that faith. At the very least, we have to have faith in God and the way that he works. We have to speak from a place of believing. Now, one thing we know about God is that God can do, well, most people say this, God can do anything. Generically, we're saying that God can do anything. You know, obviously, the Bible tells us that God can't lie. So we understand that God can't lie. So he can't technically do absolutely everything. God can't lie, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. So we understand that God can't lie. He's not a liar. He can't lie. He can't sin. We understand these things, okay? And so, but we understand that God can do things any way that he wants. If we look at creation, we can understand this. Amen. You have normal things like dogs and cats and humans. Praise the Lord. And then we get some kind of weirder looking things like giraffes and rhinoceros. Have you ever really looked at a rhinoceros? Kind of weird, right? Praise the Lord. But have you ever seen a duck-billed platypus? No, that's just got to be the weirdest thing on earth. I mean, there isn't much weirder than that. God said, I'm just going to take a little bit of everything I made and put it all in one. Make it that big. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, that's what he did. Amen. He just kind of put a bunch of things together. You know why I think he did that? I honestly think he did that just to get a kick out of it. Just to laugh. Just to say, you know what? They're going to sit down there and they're going to try to figure this one out. Praise the Lord. And I just did this. That's my thought. It's not scripture. You can have your thoughts. Praise the Lord. But God can do things any way that he wanted to. But let's think about how he made everything. Let's turn to Genesis 1:1. In case anyone don't know where that is, just open the front cover of your Bible, and you're there, pretty much. Amen. Genesis 1:1. So I want you to keep that in mind. God could have done it any way he wanted, but he chose a way to do it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Genesis 1:1 starts, it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." Praise the Lord. "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was in the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said," okay, this is really important here. It's a real big thing, and there's a couple things I want you to notice here. First of all, God doesn't leave anything in darkness. He doesn't leave anything in chaos. He doesn't leave anything upset. Praise the Lord. Without form, God is a house cleaner. He comes in and he cleans up. He organizes. He puts each thing in its place. Why? That's what God does. Same thing goes in every aspect of God's existence. Praise the Lord. In God's church, he's a house cleaner. He puts things in place, puts things in order. Praise the Lord. One of the things about being a pastor that I don't love is that sometimes I have to be a house cleaner. Glory to God. I hate that part of the job. I'll just be honest with you. I do. Because I hate standing before somebody and telling them that they're wrong. I hate standing before somebody and telling them that they got to fix something. But that's, you know, if we have to do that, we have to do that. Praise the Lord. But God is a house cleaner. He organizes. He puts back in order. So if your life is chaos, you have to understand it's not godly. God is not in chaos. He cleans chaos up. And if you don't allow him to clean chaos up in your life, you are siding against God and going with the devil. Yes, amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now, this doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. If you drive by my garage and the door is open, you see I'm not perfect. I'm working on it, though. Praise the Lord. We're working on it. Glory to God. But God puts everything back in order, praise the Lord. But look how he puts it back in order. He didn't wave a magic wand. He didn't send angels to go create it. He didn't do any of this stuff. Praise the Lord. What did he do? Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. What is the first thing that God likes to do? He likes to bring light to the situation. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. If there's darkness, the first thing God wants to do is bring light to it. Praise the Lord. What is prophecy for? Prophecy. Praise the Lord. Prophecy is not to just tell you flowery things, to tell you nice things about your life. But the purpose, one of the major purposes of prophecy is to open the eyes of the people to something. Amen. The word of God, the preaching of the word of God. Why do we preach the corrective word of God? Because it will open your eyes to things that are hindering you. How you receive that is up to you. But that's what the word of God does. It is to change things. Amen. And that's when it changes. But he brings light to the situation. Amen. So the first thing we see God did, it'll let there be light. Praise the Lord. Now, what does it say? And it didn't happen. And God was surprised, right? That's what verse 4 says. He said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And the next verse does not tell us that God was surprised. Does it? God didn't say, "Oh my gosh, my words worked. The things I said worked. Jesus, come here. Holy Spirit, come over here. Look at this. I was looking down on this void, empty wasteland." Of course, the Holy Spirit was already there. We see this hovering around. But he didn't say any of this anyway, so it doesn't matter. Praise the Lord. He said, "I was looking at this empty wasteland, and I said, 'Let there be light.' And there was light. I never even saw light before. I didn't know what light was. It just existed. Now it was. It was there." That's not how it happened. He knew exactly. We'll go to verse 4. Praise the Lord. "And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness." So God wasn't surprised by it. He saw it was good. Praise the Lord. I don't know if he said praise the Lord, but I'm saying praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There's light. It's good. Praise God. Hallelujah. Go down to verse 6. What's it say? "In the second day of creation, then God said, 'Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters.'" Now, there's a lot of things I can't get into here, but I'm going to tell you right now that I believe with everything that is in me that this is not 6 literal days 6,000 years ago. That is not how God created the earth. You can believe otherwise. There's a lot of scripture that leads otherwise, but there's a lot of Christians that are so bent. They are so bent on, "Oh, God created this whole thing 6,000 years ago," and that's just absolute fallacy. You can't get to that. You can kind of loosely see that here if you only take these scriptures. But if you start studying scripture, you won't get to it. But that's free, no charge. Amen. praise the Lord. And so let it divide the waters. And of course, we know that it happened. Praise God, because we have it land we're walking on. Verse 9. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And so it was. Praise the Lord. Verse 11. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. I love that. It was so. Just as he said. Verse 14. Then God said, look at how he created everything. He's not waving his magic wand. Praise the Lord. He's not calling angels to do it. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven, of the heavens, divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. Glory to God. Verse 20, then God said, let the waters abound with the abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the firmament of the heavens. Verse 24, then God said, praise the Lord, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind, and it was so. Praise the Lord. Verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image. According to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Praise the Lord. And so what do we see here in the creation account? We don't see God waving a magic wand. We don't see him doing it in some other form or fashion. But we see God call things forth, praise the Lord, by his voice. God spoke the earth into existence. He spoke everything that we see into existence. And then he said, let us create man in our image. Just like us. In our likeness. Your likeness and image, of course, we resemble God in bodily form, although God is not a body, he's a spirit. But God, if he were to appear before us today, he would have a bodily form. Glory to God. And I believe that the human form is in that form. Amen. But also in likeness, or his likeness of being, we understand that to be a spirit. We are a spirit body, a spirit creature. Praise the Lord. But we understand that God spoke forth. And then if you look at Hebrews 11:3, it says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Amen. Can we pull that up? Hebrews 11:3? It wasn't in there. I don't know how fast. Yeah. Oh, look at that. It just came to me, but it's good. I love that scripture. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But we see God is creating things by his words, by his voice, by the things he said. And we are told to walk in the likeness of God. We are created in the likeness. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which were seen were not made of things which were visible. Yes. Now, we are given the great faith chapter in hopes that we would follow in the way of great faith. Yeah. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Right. Why are we told how God created things if it didn't matter to us? Right. We aren't. The whole purpose of Hebrews 11 is to teach us how to live by faith, how we also live by faith. And so the things in here are profitable for teaching us how to activate our faith. By faith, we understand that our world will be framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of things which are visible. You need something to change in your life? Go to a visible thing. You're not going to change it. If you need something to change in your life, the first thing that you need to do is get into the word and start releasing faith. You need to start speaking the word, because faith is not released until it's spoken. It does not become a word until it's spoken. And if you're speaking your own words all the time, that is the bulk of what you're going to have. If you want to change in your life, you're going to have to get and do things the way the supernatural God does them. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so we see this here. We see that it's important. It was important to God. Now, all throughout the Bible, when God wanted something to change, he uses words. He sent a prophet. You know, the prophet of God, especially in the Old Testament, was literally the voice of God. Like their job was literally to share the word of God with people, to tell people what to do. It was the word of God. Amen. The prophet is a mouthpiece for God. Think about this. I don't know if you guys are making the connection. It seems a little bit like maybe people are half asleep in here today, but we gotta get into this because this is some of the most important stuff you're gonna hear. That's, you know, we don't come to church to take nap. We come to church to get the word of God. We come to church to get set free. If you want to get set free, hook up to it. Get excited about it. Didn't you talk about that this morning? Or was that last night? No, she talked about it this morning. Amen. Get excited about it. Get excited about your change, or it won't change. Get excited about the word that's being preached. We get all that great stuff. God gave us all this great stuff at the beginning of the service. Sorry for the rebuke, but that's what's got to come. Amen. God gives us all this great stuff at the beginning of the service, and people still sit there like, you know what I mean? I mean, come on. Like, listen, folks, I can see you just as much as you can see me. Praise the Lord. So if you're unhappy, I know it. If you're miserable, I know it. If you're tired, if you're sleeping, I know it. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Just be thankful God hasn't brought me back yet and said, hey, call you out. Yeah, because that's happened before. And I'll tell you what, as the Spirit of God does things and grows this church, things like that might just happen. So let's, you know, we got to come ready to receive. Being there half dead, looking like you want to be dragged out the back door. I'm just going to tell you right now that is not a way to receive from God. You won't receive. People are like, why is everything bad in my life? Well, check your face in the mirror when you leave. Look how to smile. Look how to frown. When you got them figured out, then you know how to come to church. Praise the Lord. Come to church with a smile on your face. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I thank God for the boldness of God, but I'll hate that later. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But no, we love you. You know, see, God wants us to receive the things of God, but we can't receive them unless we determine. Listen, we have to determine. We folks, one of the things that I contend with as a pastor, one of the things that I go to God about, and I'm just like, how do we get people past this? Is that people have become so lethargic in faith. I'm just telling you the truth. People have gotten to the place where they're just so lethargic. The body of Christ as a whole. I'm not just talking about this. You know, we have great people here. I love you all. I'm not saying anything against it. But we have to understand that our faith does not work without works. If we sit there like bumps on the logs in life, I'm talking about, not just in church, if we don't receive the things of God, if we don't start getting active about it, nothing's going to ever change. It will never change. You can't do it by your old way of... Listen, if you come in here and you won't let your old way of religion be changed, then you're going to have what your old way of religion has always given you, praise the Lord. God has brought you here to get help. God has brought you here to get set free. And so until you connect to that, you are never going to get set free. It will never change. It will never be any different, praise the Lord. Guess what? It was the same way for me and my wife. People look at our lives and say, oh, God, it looks like God's, well, yeah, God's blessing us, but God didn't just bless us because he picked us over you. God's blessing us because we follow him. God's blessing us because we put our lives in his hands, because we submit to him. Guess what? We go to church more than once a week. Yeah, we go to church more than just, you know, when there's a special meeting, praise the Lord, we spend thousands of dollars a year to go to other services, to go to other places and be able to sit under men and women of God who know something, that hear from God. Why? Because we want the blessing of God. And see, people pick other things all the time and they wonder why they're never blessed. They wonder why their life is just the same. You're doing the same things you always did and your life won't ever change. Until you get to the point where the things of God are so important to you that nothing else can rob you from that, until you get to that point, you will not know the fullness of God. Until you get to the point where God and the things of God are the number one thing to you. And guess what are number one things to God? The church, the local church, that's number one to God. Number one to God. Praise the Lord. It's number one to God. You cannot be separate from this place. I mean, in your heart and in your mind, you can't just put that off. It's not our church. It's all of our church. It's not my wife, you know, it's not family church's church, hallelujah. It's the people that connect to it. It's but the thing is the contending with this in this society, it is just so, it's overrun. But it seems like people will embrace everything. Everything has been going to extremes. And the reason everything is going to extremes is because the devil is working overtime to get people distracted. You know, my wife and I were talking about things like working out. Working out is wonderful. It's a great thing to do. I don't do it a lot, praise the Lord, but it's a good thing to do. It's good for your body. But I'm going to tell you what, people have gotten obsessed with it, where they're in their gym for 4 or 5 hours a day and every single day, and they just got to have that body. And then they wonder why they're falling into sin. They wonder why down the road they're falling into, because they're being so consumed with the flesh. Listen, there's nothing wrong with making your flesh look good. There's nothing wrong with keeping it nice, but do it for the right reasons. Praise the Lord. There's people that work like that. There's people that work, and then they never have the blessing of God and the fullness of God. They see things falling apart and like crumbling. Why? Because they're focused on work. They're not focused on the things of God. You see, there's all these extremes. There's people that get so involved in, you know, iPads, iPhones, whatever kind of devices or whatever, computers, they're focusing that time. And that's all they're doing over and over. And we've been guilty of these things ourselves, amen? We get guilty of these things ourselves, but we have to keep these things in balance. God is competing with everything. And God wants to do things in life. It's great to say, hey, we want revival. But it's another thing to actually desire revival. See, in order to really desire revival, you can't just say that you want it because it looks cool. You know, you can watch a video of somebody being blessed and you think, oh, I want that. You just want it because you see it. And because it looks like something you'd want. But will you pay the price to get it? Praise the Lord. I was talking about this. The things of God, they don't just come. They don't just go. I'm not even going to get into my message. Praise the Lord. They don't just fall off the tree on us. And so many Christians live that way. They live there saying, well, I'm just waiting for God to bless me. And as they're sitting there waiting and nothing's getting blessed, and they're wondering, well, why isn't it happening? Why isn't it happening? The Bible says that we are doers. We have to be doers of the word. Doers of the word. That means you do something. It means you have to do the word. Listen, you can't be blessed in your finances if you don't tithe. You cannot be blessed in your finances if you don't tithe. You can't be blessed in your finances if you're not a giver. You can't be, actually, if you start studying out Malachi 3:10, sickness in your body can come because you don't tithe. Sickness in your family can come because you don't tithe. Why? Because it's disobeying the word of God. And I'm not talking about tithing when you're here. I'm talking about tithing all the time on all your increase, because that's what the word instructs us to do. Why am I talking about it? The last thing I want to do is talk about giving and tithing. I hate talking about giving and tithing. Why? Because whenever I talk about it, all people sit there and think as though you're just asking for money. But the truth of the matter is, until people actually step up and do it, their lives will not change. You can sit there and hear the word and sit there and hear the word, but it will not change until you start being obedient to the word that was preached. The Bible tells us in Joshua 1:8 that the willing and obedient shall eat the good. Is that Joshua 1:8? No, that's not Isaiah. Well, praise the Lord. It tells us in the Bible, hallelujah, that the willing and the obedient will eat the good of the land. Yeah, in Joshua 1:8, he tells us to be, praise the Lord. Let's just go there. We were there recently, but we'll go there again. He said, meditate, do not let this word depart from your mouth. Meditate in it day and night. Yes. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. This book of the law shall not depart from your understanding. This book of the law shall not depart from your hearing. No, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Isn't that exactly what I'm preaching? Faith has a voice. But you shall meditate in it day and night. Meditate literally means to mutter. It means to speak out. It means you do something with the word, not just read it. Oh, pastor, thank you for giving me that video. I already know that scripture. I've seen that scripture. Well, start speaking it so it changes your life. Start using it. People want to know whether they're perpetually in sickness or something like that. Start speaking the word. Get the word in you so much so. Listen, I said this before and I say this again. If you're dealing with anything in life, if you haven't gotten into scripture and can preach a message on the subject that you're dealing with, you don't want out of it bad enough. Because the word of God always works, and it works every single time. Why isn't it changing? Because you can't preach about it yet. See, the Bible says to preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. How does it change your life? You preach the word. How are you going to change your life? You start preaching at it. When the devil comes to you and he starts knocking and he says, this is the way it looks, you start preaching at him and you start giving him the word. You don't preach him your words, because your words don't mean anything. God's words mean something, and it won't change until you start preaching. Hallelujah. But most people are like, most Christians are like, I can't even find it in scripture. I don't even open this except for on Sunday. Actually, most Christians don't even bring the Bibles to church on Sunday. I ain't looking around, but I'm just telling you the truth. If you want life to change, learn how to use your weapon. God has given us this not so we can sit on our duffs and not know how to do things. He's given us this to change. But if we won't pick it up and use it, it will do us no good. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I wasn't expecting this law. I honestly, As Reverend Greer said, I woke up nice this morning. I woke up happy this morning, praise the Lord. And I'm not mad at you, but I'm just telling you, sometimes we just got to stomp on some stuff. Sometimes we just got to, you know what? Sometimes we got to, this is stirring, by the way. Praise the Lord. We tell you to preach for or pray for boldness. This is what boldness is. Boldness will get in the face of people and tell them the truth regardless of whether they'll leave them or not. Hallelujah. The last thing I want to do is just preach at people and to tell people that they're doing things wrong, whatever. But the last thing, even worse than that, is what I don't want to see people coming to me that are broken and defeated, don't know how to get through life. The word is the way that we change things. But then what's it say? It says, meditate in it day and night. That means to speak it, to mutter it, to get it in you day and night. What is meditating? We talked about this recently. I know we did. Meditation is where you're speaking it, you're muttering, you're thinking about the word. It comes to you and you speak it again and you say it out loud and you think about it. You meditate on it. You don't get distracted by everything else, but you allow the word to come back up in you. You want victory in your life? This is how you do it. That you may observe to do all that is written in it. That you may observe to do all that is written. That you may observe to do all that is written in it. Some people say, well, this is the Old Testament. The reason they say that is because they want to try to get out of doing something. Because people inherently are lazy. They don't want to do what they have to do. And until people do what they, people start putting to practice those things, their lives won't change. This is, I'm telling you what. Praise the Lord. I recently heard a pastor, a minister was ministering on something specific in his church and said, if you're dealing with this such and such, come on up and I want to minister to you. And more than half of his church came up there. A huge number of his church came up there. And that pastor got up at the end and when he was closing out the service and he said, you know, he's like, that bothers me that there's something that so many people are dealing with. And yet, you know, here's the answer. And the thing is, it's a very basic teaching in the word. And what it means is that people aren't, somewhere they're disconnecting their faith from what they're actually, what God is actually trying to do. We have to understand that, you know, I'm just going to be honest with you. Can I be honest with you? Yes. When one of the first, my first realizations in faith was that when I, was when I found out I had responsibility in the word. That I have responsibility to do the word. Because then I started seeing, wait a minute, it's on me. That where we go, it's on me. Because God's given us everything. Listen, I'm not going to apologize for saying that. A lot of times I try to talk around that because people sometimes get upset or they get offended, but I'm just going to tell you the truth. I mean, the fullness of it. Where we go is up to us. It's only up to us. How far we go, like some Christians, they'll live just okay Christian lives and they'll just go through and, you know, things will happen and it'll be all right. But they'll get to heaven, they'll be ashamed. Right. Why? Because they'll stand before Jesus without any fruit. We are called to bring fruit to God. That's what we're supposed to do. If we're not bringing fruit, we're worthless. We are worthless if we don't bring fruit. So what is the number one, should be the number one desire of a Christian? That we bear fruit. What's fruit? How many people have you reached? How many people have, I'm not talking about how many people have you talked to. I'm talking about how many people have you reached to get them the word of God, to get them the truth of God. God does not leave his people stay in one place. He builds up and brings higher. For then, after all of that, the book of the law, not departing from, the book of the law is just the word of God. The word of God not departing from your mouth. Meditating in it day and night. Observing to do, doing all that's written in it, then you will make your way prosperous. And go on to verse 9. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. That's not what it, yeah, but you will, oh yeah, verse 8. Oh, it's the continuing verse 8. That's right. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Praise the Lord. See, there's a comma. Yeah, praise the Lord. That's what I wanted to get to. And then you will have good success. So this is how you do it. It is not by pleading with God. You know, I said last night, how'd I say it? You knew it was last night, so God knows it. Yeah, people going to God, pleading for God. They're groveling before God in prayer, saying, oh, Lord, answer my prayer, answer my prayer, answer my prayer. Listen, that's not how God wants us to come to him. But we have to know more than this. We have to learn more. We have to be more than that. We actually have to, listen, if we're going to be those that change, we have to be those that allow ourselves to be changed. We have to allow ourselves to be moved into something more of God. We have to allow ourselves to get full of the things of God. If we don't do that, we hinder the power of God. You can pray all day long, and I'm gonna save you the time. You'll waste your prayers. If you refuse to do what God has told you to do, we don't tell people these things. We don't contend with these things. We don't get bold because we sit here and we think about what ways can we rip people apart today? Come on now. I mean, seriously, the thing we love the most are the people that are sitting in these seats. Oh, my gosh. We think about this church, and we live our lives to bring this church into the fullness of what God has for it. Amen? And, it's not easy to do that in any respect. I'm not saying just it's not easy to be a pastor. I mean, it's not easy for any of us to put our flesh down. We haven't gained anything. I'm going to, can I be honest with you one more time? Praise the Lord. If there is anybody who is well established in their carnality. In other words, if there is anybody who fully understands giving into the flesh in abundance, it's the man standing before you today. Because that's how I lived my life. I was so consumed with my flesh. And still today, even as a pastor today, my flesh screams at me sometimes to not do the things I want or that I know are good and to do the things that I know are bad. It screams at me, I am no different than you. I was trapped and lost in sexual sin. I was trapped and lost in addiction and drug use and all these other kinds of things. You know what I mean? I was trapped and lost in it. Pornography and the things like that. How do you get beyond these things? You have to put the word to practice. You can't do it any other way. Praise the Lord. And I don't stand before you as somebody who is perfect, but I stand before you as somebody who God has used, and he's used for that purpose to give other people hope, to give you hope, to say, listen, if he can do it, like I am literally, people say this, but I'm going to tell you right now, if there is anybody, if I can do it, if I could get to this point, there is no one sitting in these seats that can't get to that point. There is nobody. If I could do it, literally, I know many people say that, but I am telling you, I know the truth. I remember when I was smoking, I was like, if there is anybody who will never quit smoking, it is me. Now, if you smoke, I'm not calling you bad or anything like that. I'm just telling you this. I knew that I had to quit because it was destroying my body. But one thing that I knew is that I was so wrapped up in that addiction. I was so just embraced it. It was so much a part of me that I never. Next week when I finish this message, because I believe I will, because the importance of what is in this message that didn't get preached today is important for us to understand. And so that will come out next week. But it will help you. It will bless you. But it has to do with things like addiction and stuff. It has to do with how you get beyond those addictions, how you get out of that stuff. How do you put the word to practice? Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So if you're with us today, well, we love you. Praise God. And we're for you. Just remember that. I know that sometimes it's bold, but listen, I didn't just do that because I wanted to do that. But the Spirit of God rose up on the inside of me and pushed some of that out. So we thank God for a correction. But we're going to a place, places where God wants us to be blessed. He wants us to be helped. And we'll go there together if we just continue pressing on. Amen.